Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 through 28. Somewhat aside from the great dispensational lessons of Daniel 6, it would seem we find a very personal picture of Daniel's spiritual commitment in a time of danger and challenge. From this picture, we may all learn lessons for our individual lives. Yet, taken in context, this personal picture is not utterly separate from the broader application of this sixth chapter as a picture of end-time events, which will concern the renewed nation of Israel. Daniel's unswerving faithfulness becomes for us a picture of the godliness which will be necessary in that terrible time of persecution which will come upon the Jews. The situation faced by Israelites who know the Lord in that day will be much the same as that faced by Daniel. Paul speaks of that man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 3 and 4. If that wicked man exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, he will clearly forbid the worship of any other and will viciously punish those who engage in true prayer and worship toward Jehovah. See Revelation 13, verse 15. Many will have to choose between faithfulness and death. Seen in that light, it becomes clearer why Daniel did not simply leave off praying for a time, and why he did not do his praying in a more secret or private manner. The spiritual issues were just too great. Still, it is worth dealing with that issue in some detail. Why could not Daniel have stopped praying for 30 days? Why should not Israel cease to pray at all in order to avoid the wrath of Antichrist? Or why should we not leave off praying when it is not convenient for us? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4, verse 17. When Satan tried to talk Jesus into worshiping him, Jesus replied, "For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Luke 4, verse 8. Most people focus only on the last part of that scripture, him only, but notice the first half, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. It is not merely avoidance of that which is bad which satisfies God, but active participation in that which is good. Many people seem to feel that as long as they do not become active partakers in false religion or unsound doctrine, it matters little whether they take time to serve God in pure and undefiled religion. Theirs is an incomplete, immature understanding of what God wants from us. The law constructed by Daniel's enemies and signed by Darius was a bad law, one which would have forced sin upon anyone who complied with it in any way whatsoever. Let your requests be made known. Daniel refused to obey man rather than God. Why continue to offer prayer and thanksgiving openly instead of hiding his prayers? Surely Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Matthew 6, verse 6. It is wise in studying Scripture to let God show the whole picture of his will and not to isolate Scripture from Scripture. For example, Paul told the Romans, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God." Romans 14:22. This very emphatically applies to the limited topic which was under discussion in that passage. It is not a blanket injunction against expressing your faith to others and encouraging them to partake in it. He also said, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak." 1 Corinthians 14:34. Yet in 1 Corinthians 11:1 through 16, he gave instructions which make it clear that he expected women to pray and prophesy publicly. The portion in 1 Corinthians 14 does not force women into a passive, inactive role, but deals with a particular point of order. Christ's instructions to pray in secret dealt with Pharisees and others who wanted praise of men for their prayers. He never intended to say that all public prayer is wrong. He prayed publicly when the occasion called for it. The occasion of Daniel's prayer called for a bold, open testimony, not for a fearful hiding of his devotion to the Lord. What had formerly been a matter of private communion with God had become an issue of public law. It can be as false to go to the closet for fear of man as it is to pray on a street corner for the praise of man. Either way, prayer towards God becomes secondary to approval from man. Daniel was not lacking in the commitment necessary to put God first, so he not only prayed, but also let it be known that he prayed. Once it became clear to Darius that Daniel, in whom the excellent Spirit of God dwelt, was to be the victim of his hasty decree, he was displeased with himself and tried to free Daniel, but failed. The law of the Medes and Persians was that no decree or statute which the king established could be changed. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Daniel 6 verses 14 and 15. How often men learn too late that the consequences of their foolish, faithless, rebellious deeds cannot be changed by any effort on their part. There will doubtless be some who will lend their approval to the evil course of the beast, not fully realizing where that course will lead. According to Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40, some will show kindness to the Jews, doing all they can to preserve their lives. And these will have their actions duly rewarded when Christ comes in glory. Yet all they do will be insufficient to stop the man of sin once his power has been established. How wonderful, then, that God is not the limitations of man. Darius ran to the den of lions early in the morning after Daniel had been thrown to the lions. He had passed a sleepless night, having eaten nothing, trembling for Daniel's safety, and because of his own trespass against the living God. With a pain-filled voice he called out, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Daniel 6, verse 20b. That is the question to be settled in every age, in every life where Satan has gained an apparently unbreakable power. Is God able to do what man cannot do, to deliver and protect his servants? Darius wanted it to be so. Seemingly a few, comparatively speaking, will hope that the God of Israel will be able to deliver them. God allows situations like this to develop so that the testimony of his power can be manifest. God closed the lions' mouths, and Daniel was delivered, even as a godly Israel shall be. What of the persecutors of righteous Daniel? They and all who agreed with them in their plot were cast down in the place where they had thought to see Daniel's death. God opened the lion's mouth, and the destruction they had planned for a godly man became their own end. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Daniel 6, verse 24. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Romans 12, 29. See also Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, and Hebrews 10, verses 30 through 31. Do not despise vengeance, for it is a part of the course which God will take. Human vengeance is corrupt and unjust, but not the vengeance of the Lord. To a troubled and somewhat confused group of church-age believers, Paul wrote, Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 6 through 8. At the end of the time of Jacob's trouble, the Lord Jesus Christ will make war upon the beast, who will have poised himself for the destruction of Israel and of all godliness. The outcome? John wrote what he saw in a vision. See also Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, Jesus Christ, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19, verses 20 through 21. Surely in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Revelation 19, verse 11. The armies which assemble to destroy the righteous nation shall themselves be destroyed by the word of the Lord. Why is the vengeance of the Lord good? Beyond the fact that his judgments are just in a way that ours can never be, his vengeance goes beyond mere revenge and becomes the instrument by which men are drawn into the righteousness of his grace. Read the decree of Darius in Daniel 6, verses 25 through 47. The destruction of Daniel's enemies became the means to introduce God's authority and power to those who otherwise would never have heard. In the day to come, the great judgment of the beast's evil kingdom will usher in the millennium, the glorious and absolute kingdom of Christ, during which he will rule over all the peoples of the earth. In 2 Kings chapter 10, verses 15 through 28, we read how Jehu met Jehonadab and asked him if his heart was right. Jehonadab replied, "It is." Jehu's response was, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." What Jehonadab saw and took part in as he rode in the chariot of Jehu was the total destruction of the house of Ahab and all the worshippers of Baal. If the heart of the believer is right, as the heart of the Lord is right, there can be no hesitation in joining him in his chariot of judgment. The day of open judgment is absolutely not for this hour in which I write, although we believe it will not be long in coming. Nevertheless, the question, is your heart right, as pertaining to our agreement with his righteous judgments, is most definitely to be answered by us now. We thank God for every manifestation of his power, for all that he does is good and works good. Daniel prospered after these things. Israel will prosper when the hosts of Antichrist are destroyed, and thank God we shall see prosperity never before seen when at last all things are subdued unto Christ.